The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Good morning. You have tuned in to Problem Corner on KFAR 660 AM 97.5 FM. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. And with me in the studio is Aaron Gibson. He is running for City Council Seat D. And if you'd like to participate in the program, the number to call is 458-8255. 458-TALK. And with that, let's get going. Aaron, you're running for City Council re-election to City Council Seat D.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're running and issues you want to address. You might want to get the mic a little bit closer.
Sure. Well, good morning. How are you doing? I spent the last 3 years on the City Council, and it's been a great honor to serve the residents and the citizens of Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. Born and raised here in Fairbanks, Alaska, graduated from Lathrop High School, graduated from UAF CTC program with an associate's in information technology.
Hmm.
I love this town and I love being involved. That's really what it's all about. And, I'd be really honored for the next 3 years here. So that's
all right. Well, very good. And I guess this means you must have enjoyed the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's been good.
Yes.
The first year and a half is like drinking from a fire hose, because you're just like, there's just so much information, numbers and, different things that are happening. And, as soon as you get elected, the city's budget is, the city is on a calendar fiscal year. So the city has to do a budget starting in November.
Right.
So as soon as you get elected, my first month of November, my first full month on the council was, 3-4 meetings a week, mm-hmm. Every morning at 7 o'clock in the morning for the budget meetings. And it was a lot to learn.
Yes, indeed. It certainly is. There's a lot to it and important skills that we don't talk about.
There's just so much information. The first year you're sitting back and you're learning and you're trying to understand everything that's happening, and you watch the budget process and, mm-hmm. I sat back and I listened a lot and didn't have a lot to say because I just wasn't sure, how I was fitting into the process.
Mm-hmm. And that is, in my mind, the most important skill to represent and serve on these bodies is you have to listen. You have to listen to both sides. There are no easy solutions. There are better solutions, but there are not necessarily easy solutions ever.
Sure.
And you pick between them. Yeah. It's an interesting challenge. So with that, what are some of the challenges that you see facing the city, and what are your recommendations?
So one of the biggest challenges, and I think the largest one that's coming at us fast, especially this morning at 27 degrees, is snow removal and winter road maintenance. And that's going to be a big challenge this year, making sure that we're staying on top of getting all the snow off the roads in a timely manner and handling the neighborhoods in a reasonable fashion.
Mm-hmm.
So,
interesting subject. I don't know what ideas have come up, but I kind of grew up working on 2nd Avenue, and snow removal downtown has been a problem for the last 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's a challenge, but it makes if you don't get snow off the roads, it makes the downtown look closed.
It does.
And it's hard to get around. And the other side of it is it costs a lot of money to get rid of the snow.
So. Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things we did as a cost savings measure in an efficiency measures, the public works director brought to us a few weeks ago and said, hey, I want to get these side dumps. We rented them last winter, and we can hold three dump trucks full of snow in one of these side dumps.
One of the side dumps, yeah.
And that helps us get the snow off the roads faster, right, because they can plow into one of these side dumps and then go dump it and roll up another one. And they can't use it in all the neighborhoods, but they can use it in a lot of them.
Right.
And so I said, well, why are we waiting to buy this thing? Why don't we just buy it now while we have a budget amendment in front of us?
Mm-hmm.
So I put that in the budget. You know, so, hey, let's put this $80,000 in here. Let's get this side dump ordered. And talked to the public works director a week or two ago, and he said it's here, and the truck's ready to use, and they're ready to use it. So so we've got two side dumps now with two tractor trailers to pull them. And I think that'll be a good thing for the city.
Good. You know, another thing for people to keep in mind, and you would have more information about this than I do, but the need to respect the no parking signs when they're doing snow removal.
Mm-hmm.
If a car is in the road, it presents a real challenge for getting snow off the road, and something we can all do to help out, make each other's life a little easier.
Yeah, I hear a lot about the no parking signs and the vehicles getting towed off the road sometimes. And, you know, it's just part of being part of the community. Sometimes,
yep,
you know, it's inconvenient.
Yep.
I realize I lived in one of those neighborhoods for years where the streets are small and you might have a small driveway,
mm-hmm,
and it's tough. Mm-hmm. I recognize that. But if the cars are there, then they plow around them. Or if they tow them, then, you know, there's no really good answers to that.
Right. Yes, and it is something. We have to help each other out. Then help our neighbors, help the city get the snow off the streets. Collectively, we'll save money and we'll have better streets to drive on. So,
yep.
Yeah, something we have to take a little responsibility for ourselves. Okay, so let's see. We have got, we're coming up on a quarter past the hour. We have to take a break for some messages from our sponsors. You're listening to KFAR. Your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. With me is Aaron Gibson. And stay with us. We will be right back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
This November, we'll vote on whether we should hold a constitutional convention. Alaskans, this is not something we should mess with. A convention would open Alaska's entire constitution for unlimited change. Up for grabs are gun rights, hunting and fishing rights, privacy rights, access to public lands and resource development. We could lose big. No single issue is worth opening this Pandora's box. We simply don't know where it'll take us. A convention is just too risky. This November, vote no on ballot measure one.
This communication was paid for by no one to defend our Constitution. The top three contributors are 1630 Fund, NEA, Alaska Pace, and IBEW PAC.
You knew it was coming, but here's your reminder that tire changeover season is here again. And to celebrate, Alyeska Tire is giving you a chance to win a gift card for a full set of tires. All you have to do is cruise in to one of our eight locations, check a few boxes, and wait while our team of technicians prepares your vehicle for the road ahead. Terms and conditions apply. No purchase necessary. See store for details. Alyeska Tire. We're always with you.
Attend the Find Out Free Pregnancy Center's Fall Fundraising Banquet. Learn what's new at the clinic and how you can help them continue their life-changing mission, assisting and empowering women, men, and families through their journeys from pregnancy to parenting. Plan to attend the Find Out Free Pregnancy Center's Fall Fundraising Banquet Friday, October 14th from 6 to 8:30 p.m. at Lighthouse Church. For more information and to sign up today, visit findoutfree.com. That's F-Y-N-D, findoutfree.com.
Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies every Saturday at 5:30 on KFAR Radio with your host, David Pruse, discussing everything food in Fairbanks, from awesome recipes to all of your favorite local restaurants. Brought to you by Bobby's Downtown, Quality Food Sales, Hoodoo Brewery, and the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Don't miss Fairbanks Foodies and go to the archives page of KFARradio.com to listen to any past episodes. Fairbanks Foodies, Saturdays at 5:30 on KFAR Radio and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Bigfoot.com.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
KFAR weather.
Scattered rain showers likely today, otherwise cloudy. Highs level off around 46, winds out of the northeast, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast again tonight, a mixture of precipitation likely, lows around 34. Mixed precipitation possible at times tomorrow, highs around 44, cloudy. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
All right, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, and your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. With me in the studio is Aaron Gibson. Aaron is running for seat D on the City Council, and we're talking about all things city councils. If you want to join in the program, the number to call is 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. All right, and so we're going through some of the concerns facing the city council that you deal with all the time. Are there others, or I'll come up with ideas?
Oh, yeah, well, there's a bunch, right? There's always there's always something to talk about. You know, the other big issue that we're facing is public safety, recruitment, retention. So that's, you know, your police and your firefighters and your dispatchers. And that is the really kind of one of the foundational services that the city provides. Because
absolutely.
If you, you're in an accident, you need the police to respond. You might need the ambulance to respond. You know, there was a vehicle fire just the other day right outside the fire department. So those are all things that are essential. You know, the days of having two open positions and 200 applicants just aren't here anymore. You know, 20 years ago, I remember that was the problem, you know, that the city had. It was like, oh, we just have all these, we have two open jobs and we have 200 people showing up for the PT test.
Right. Yep. And I think we have to get used to a new paradigm for what, the last 40 years, Brittany? The state has had tremendous amounts of money coming in because of the throughput on the pipeline, and that era is over. Hopefully there's going to be an increase here with some of the projects coming online, but I think we're going to be facing tight budgets on the state level, and that means tighter budgets all the way down.
There's no $2 million coming this year from the state house, is what you're telling from the house?
I wouldn't count on it.
So we used to, you know, like we used to have all these applicants, and now we don't,
right.
Really, for the police. And local recruitment was really a great first choice. And today,
certainly,
we need to look at new ways. And one of those things is lateral recruitment. We need to attract officers from other areas of the state, other areas of the country that are already trained and certified. In getting a cop on the streets, somebody that's already trained, certified, and has some job experience is been much more successful for us than it has recruiting people off the street. You know, you recruit somebody off the street, you got to train them. You know, and there's a rate there where people don't pass backgrounds and things like that, or don't pass the academy. But basically, after you get the person hired, 50% of them either quit or are terminated in their probationary period
because
they just don't meet the standards.
Sure. Yes, and have no idea what it's really all about. Kind of like getting on the city council. You don't know what
you
it's
don't know
about
what you're getting
into. Yeah, and so we need to think outside the box, which the council did. You have now some public safety assistance. That isn't the right word.
But public safety assistance.
Assistance,
that's the right word, or right term. It's a program that's happening nationally, and what it really boils down to is not everything that a cop does necessarily requires a certified officer to do. Sometimes you have to you know, take a report, you know, somebody comes to the station to fill out a report, and, you know, instead of having to talk to an officer, they can talk to a PSA. And this PSA can assist them with that. You know, if there's something that needs to be taken around town. You know, sometimes officers are asked to do it. And sometimes
lost my train of thought.
Yeah, sorry. Sometimes, you know, police officers, like downtown security is an issue where you're trying to deal with, you know, inebriants and right. people that are in distress there. And public safety assistance really can fill in those roles where we just necessarily don't need a police officer to respond right. to it.
And once upon a time, we had volunteers in policing.
Mm-hmm.
And is that still going?
It's there is still a program. It hasn't been very active over the last few years, but mm-hmm. Those opportunities still do exist inside the city.
Mm-hmm. That's good, because a lot of it is just having a presence there.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going back when we had the restaurant, the police were walking the beat, I guess it you would say, on 2nd downtown, 1st and 2nd and 3rd. And there were a lot of things that got taken care of informally just because they were there. And they knew the people, they knew the just about everybody downtown. It was kind of interesting. And it would be interesting to go back to something more on that line, where the public safety officer or policeman or somebody is just walking down the street, meeting people, helping people out, taking care of problems,
yeah.
as it were.
Yeah, and those public safety assistants, you know, will be able to fill those positions,
yes.
fill that spot. You know, we were able to take some extra dollars that we had this year to fund them, and hopefully next year, you know, we'll find those dollars somewhere and mm-hmm. make sure that we have them.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Another program, crisis stabilization centers.
Yeah, that, Crisis Now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. So we were down visiting that office business,
mm-hmm.
and I was... I was inspired. It was really, some really great people are working in that office, and they have been doing a lot of good already. And I think it's less up and running less than a year, but I think that's a good idea. I think that's going to really help things out over time.
Yeah, so about 6 months ago, 8 months ago, we took a grant from Alaska Mental Health, and we got the mm-hmm. Crisis Now coordinator for this, and that's working inside the city. And the city's mm-hmm. contribution is office space and those types of things.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already seen some successes. We just had a report the other day at the city council meeting, I guess it was about 2 weeks ago already, but where they said, you know, they've already referred a bunch of calls over to Crisis Now, mm-hmm. where instead of having an officer respond, they had the Crisis Now team respond and help those people in their time of need. So
yes.
sometimes you necessarily don't always want a police officer to go to certain situations.
Yeah.
And you need a different, there needs to be something that happens.
Yes.
But it, you know, the answer isn't always a cop.
Yes, indeed. And they have, well, they're taking some of the pressure off the emergency room at the hospital and off the correction center. And they have more time to provide some extended help. It's not just a sleep-off center and back out onto the street. There's more services involved, and they're really interested in helping people. And as I say, that was inspirational. That was great.
Yeah. So, you know, and that kind of bridges into the next big thing that's happening here in town is homelessness and mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night, there's going to be a city council meeting. We're going to get a grant. We're going to accept one. We're going to pass a resolution to accept one from the Rasmussen Foundation. And that's going to bring back, they're going to fully fund that homeless coordinator for the homeless Fairbanks Homeless Coalition.
Oh, okay. And is that going to be run through the city as well?
Yeah, it's going to be run through the city. And that's the, really, that's the role that the city needs to take, is we need to, we have the ability to be a conduit for money to come into these nonprofits and to fund these positions from, you know, Alaska Mental Health Trust or the Rasmussen Foundation or where, you know, other grants that mm-hmm. come up. And that's how the city really contributes to this big picture.
Mm-hmm.
the chief of staff, Mike Sanders, used to be the
homeless coordinator.
Right. And when he was doing it, he had his fingers on the heartbeat of it.
Yes.
He had met every single person out there, gone to figure out their needs, where they're at, mm-hmm. and at one point, and I'm not saying it's true today, but at one point, he had identified beds for every single person that didn't have a home for the night. Now, whether they choose to do the things to get into those beds is another story. That's another discussion.
Yep.
But there were enough beds.
Yes.
But that's been 18 months, 2 years now. So I'm sure the picture's changed. But once we get this position back, mm-hmm. One of the things that I hope that person jumps right on is figuring that solution out. Because when the Chena State Recreation Park got cleaned up,
mm-hmm.
and the rescue mission went out there and worked with the people. There was a big cleanup effort, just trying to make sure that those people, because displacement shouldn't be the goal. It should be figuring out how we can get those people the services that they need.
Right, and frankly, there are some people that, if you will, their lifestyle.
They just don't want it.
They're not ready to change, but there are some who are ready to change and would change with some help. And you need some help.
Yeah.
They're just, you get into something, we're all that way. We get into whatever we're doing and that becomes our worldview and we don't necessarily think we can change. But we can. Got to have that. And I think there's some opportunities there for like church ministries and whatnot to get involved with that program, and these aren't just disposable people. That's not the way to look at it. they might be a little bit hard to get along with, but we do need to reach out and help those that can, that want the help, looking for the help. So, yeah, so good thing. That is a positive development. I think that can do some good, and I think over time, we are going to see some improvement over that. And they told me down at the Crisis Stabilization Center that they're actually getting people sent here in Fairbanks. They're the first ones going with the program, but they're getting people sent here to Fairbanks from other places throughout the state and even some from out of state.
Yeah.
So they're really doing a pretty good job. So that is good to know, good to hear about. And let's see, I'm hearing the music coming in. That means the satellite's overhead, and the satellite's going to take over in just about half a minute. So we better let that happen, and please stay with us. There's going to be some national news, some local news, and some words from our sponsors. And so stay with us, and we'll be back with you in just a few minutes.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Ian is getting stronger and on track to strike Florida's Gulf Coast.
Maximum sustained winds are now up to 80 miles an hour, and it moves into the Gulf, where it's expected to strengthen into a major hurricane.
Governor Ron DeSantis, mandatory evacuations in effect now for the Tampa Bay area.
You must comply with those evacuation instructions.
National Hurricane Center Acting Director Jamie Roan says storm surge could reach 10 feet in some places. President Biden welcomes the 2021 World Series champions to the White House.
And now the Braves will be forever remembered for the unstoppable, joyful run that this team made last year.
The team giving him an Atlanta Braves jersey with the number 46, honoring his presidency. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KTUU reports a lower Kalskag man has been charged with murder, according to an Alaska State Troopers dispatch released Saturday afternoon in connection with an incident that left his son dead. AST said that a little after 2:30 p.m. Friday, the agency was notified that 32-year-old Peter Levi had reportedly been stabbed by his father, 56-year-old Moses Levi. The younger man later succumbed to his injuries, the agency wrote. According to AST, Moses Levi has been charged with murder in the first and second degrees and has been taken to the Yukon-Kuskokwim Correctional Center. An Alaska judge has ruled that a lawmaker affiliated with the Oath Keepers may stay on the general election ballot in November, even though he's likely ineligible to hold public office. But the Anchorage Daily News reported Judge Jack McKenna on Thursday ordered election officials to delay certifying the results of that particular race until a trial scheduled for December can be held. This would allow elections officials to exclude Republican State Representative David Eastman from the ranked choice voting tabulation process if the trial finds him ineligible. If that happens, votes cast for him would go to the voters' next highest choice.
Live online at KFAR660.com.
Affordable Used Cars is the only true one-stop shopping experience in Fairbanks. Affordable Used Cars has the largest inventory of pre-owned vehicles in the state. All makes and all models. That's right. Affordable has them all. Chevy, GMC, BMW, Kia, Ford, and more. The list goes on. No need to drive around all day or spend hours on the internet. Come by today for a test drive and be amazed at the selection and the affordable prices. Affordable Used Cars, located on South Cushman.
My name is David Pruse, and I was born here in Fairbanks. I'm running for the mayor for the city of Fairbanks. I was elected to the city council for 6 years, appointed to the Alaska Real Estate Commission for 4 years, and appointed to both our local planning commission and board of equalization for 8 years each. That is 26 years of public experience. While serving you, I always represented you, Fairbanks. That is what I was known for. As your mayor, I'll continue that legacy. Please vote for me, David Pruse, on October 4th.
Paid for by David Pruse for city mayor, 59 College Road, Suite 213, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard has led to a lot of firsts for me. The education assistance I received made it possible for me to be the first person in my family to go to school and graduate debt-free. That education helped get me to the first day at my dream job, a job that I can still hold while I serve part-time. That job, plus the other benefits possible from the Army National Guard, helped me become a first-time homeowner. Also, part of my role as a National Guard soldier means I know that I can be one of the first to respond and help my community if disaster ever strikes. I'm extremely proud that I get to serve my community, and that first step I took by joining the Army National Guard has made all the difference in my life. Talk to your local recruiter or visit NationalGuard.com to find out what firsts are available to you in the Army National Guard.
Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
I'm Gunnar Knapp. I spent 35 years at UAA teaching economics and studying Alaska's economy. I'm worried about Alaska's future. I'm worried because folks are leaving Alaska because they see more opportunity elsewhere. Alaska is competing with other states for workers, and particularly for the talented young people our future depends on. To keep young families and new businesses in Alaska, it's not enough to have great fishing and PFDs. They're going to want good jobs and good and stable public services like cops, schools, roads, and parks. So I worry when we let the price of oil drive what kinds of schools our kids have and what kinds of roads we drive on. And I worry when I hear so many candidates and public officials only talking about how big a dividend we should pay this year. They should be talking about how we are going to provide and pay for basic services and bring stability to our economy. That's what we'll need to keep our young people and our economic future.
Paid for by Alaskans for Posterity.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, and we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 AM, 97.5 FM. Thank you, and be sure and tell the sponsors that you heard about them on KFAR, and that helps them, that helps us. And your guest host this morning is Mike Prox. With me in the studio is Aaron Gibson. He is running for City Council Seat D. And if you want to participate, have any questions, please give us a call, 458-8255. That's 458-TALK. And with that, Aaron, we have been going down the road with things that are happening in the city, and what are some other things that we should know about?
Yeah, so the city sometimes, you know, so the city is a, we're a $30-40 million city. That's our budget.
Right.
And we compete with the state of Alaska. You know, what, $6 billion this year? Is that what you guys spent?
We spent a lot.
We compete with Anchorage. We compete with Juneau. And so we really have to look at when we offer our, when we create packages for our groups, like specifically fire and police, because those are like-size services and like-size cities. We really try to see, you know, hey, how are we, how, where are we with like-size municipalities in the state? So that's like Juneau, Wasilla, and we try to structure our packages around those to make sure that we're staying on track. We're not underpaying, we're not paying, you know, something we can't afford, because the, you know, the troopers, they're just in the stratosphere. Like, it's hard to compete with them.
Right.
and that's fine. That's just how it is. But, you know, there's perks you get for being a city cop or a city firefighter versus being a firefighter someplace else, right? And one of those things that we've added, though, to help us recruit new paramedics and new firefighters is we offered a educational reimbursement allocation. So we've put some money towards this education reimbursement, and it's already worked. We've already gotten paramedics that decided to come work for us versus go work for a flight company or go to another municipality someplace else and come stay in the city. And so over the 4 years, they get a certain amount of money every year that reimburses them for the cost of their tuition and the money they spent getting trained as a paramedic. Because if we hire somebody and then we say, all right, we're going to send you to paramedic school, we pretty much say goodbye to them for a year.
Right.
Like, their job is to go to paramedic school, and then their job is to go to their, you know, their internship someplace else out of state where they're learning the craft.
Right. And the university has a firefighters program, and I
fire
think
science.
They have paramedic training as well. Are you getting?
Yeah, so that's where we got our paramedics from. The last few that we just hired, we hired right out of the university's program. So it was real successful.
That's good. You know, and another competing, yes, you, the city is competing with other entities, the troopers, Fort Wainwright, et cetera, for people. But the other benefit for working for the city is that you are closely connected to the people you serve. And I, you know, I got to give a shout out. As I think back over the years, I've been kind of on both sides of visits with the city police where they've come to help us out, and they have stopped me for traffic violations and whatnot. But I didn't like getting pulled over, but I really do appreciate the respect that the city police have for the people that they serve. And that goes along. They've got a tough job, and we got to give them some credit for that. And but on the other hand, they do seem to have that connection with the community. Now, it's a little more difficult to do the higher up the government food chain you go. So
yeah,
that's one of the things for working for the city.
So one of the things we talked about road maintenance earlier. One of the things that we I'm on the FAST planning committee, and so on FAST planning, we meet once a month, and we discuss road projects that are happening. And one of the things that recently happened at FAST was they developed a map. And sometimes we get phone calls from people, and they say, hey, this road's not getting maintained, or hey, this road needs to be plowed, or, and they created a map of all the roads in the borough. And they identified which roads belong to which road service areas and which roads belong to, like, the city and which roads belong to the state. So if somebody calls up and says, hey, this is an issue, there's an easy to reference map that's available onto the FAST planning website where somebody can click on it and say, oh, this road belongs to the Goldstream Road Service Area or the state or the city. Real handy. And it's interesting because of our makeup. So we're a city within a borough.
Right.
And the city is by the state constitution, one of the most powerful forms of government you can have. We're a home rule, first class city. So we are, we have a charter. We have the ability to have police and fire powers, things like that, right? And the borough is second class, and they just don't have those things.
Right.
And so it was really interesting the other night. There was a forum, and somebody mentioned that at the forum that we should do away with the city, and we should just create a municipality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I mean, could you imagine having... you know, having the problems that we have now recruiting police officers and firefighters.
Yes.
And then having to do police services throughout the entire borough.
That would be a challenge. And providing any number of services. The city collects garbage.
Yep.
And if you're in a dense enough area, that might work. But the borough is so much different just simply because of population density. And
yeah, I wasn't going
to have service areas, but yeah, it'd be a challenge to run that together.
Yeah, so our public works department, I wasn't going to dig into trash because trash is an interesting discussion to talk about.
Yes.
I've learned over the last 3 years, but our public works department does a great job. But mm-hmm. you know, the city has the density, right?
That's it.
Just like you said, there's the driveways that are right next to each other. You know, they can pick up all the trash inside the city in I think like 3 days, 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
3 days if there's a holiday, 4 days if there's not,
mm-hmm.
Which is just amazing.
Right.
And I mean, that's a lot of trash.
That's a lot of trash.
And yes, there's no limit.
Right.
So people can put out as many trash bags as they want. And, you know, so sometimes right. I'm sure that they pull up and there's like curb to curb. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And out where I live, you couldn't do that in 3 days. <'cause> it takes 10 minutes to go between one house and the next.
Right. So, yeah. Driveway to driveway.
Just doesn't work. So we have the transfer stations, we're responsible for getting the trash to the transfer stations, and then we pay a fee, part of our tax assessment, to have that service available, and everybody pays a fee to, or part of their tax, to run the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's set up good. If you want all the services, the city is there to provide them. If you're willing to put up with less service at less cost, then that's a choice people can make. If you unify, there would be a lot of discussions.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to talk about. And I mean, if you unify, then you how do you deal with the unions, right? You've got
yes.
borough unions, you've got city unions, and then which unions get to stay, which unions get to go?
Yes, indeed. Yes. It would be quite a challenge to figure that out. But yeah, you know, it's something that comes up every once in a while. There's been a couple of formal studies about that and found that there really isn't that much duplication of service. You would think the administration, and I suppose to a degree that can be combined payroll and finance like that. But that's a very small part of the whole
picture. Yeah, that's I, you know, if there was anything that I would say that the borough would want to combine or should look at, is they should look at how to better provide fire and EMS services.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're all competing for the same people and the same, you know, same jobs and things like
right.
that. And if the borough had some solution for that, I mean, because we've got, you know, the city of Fairbanks has a platform truck that
right.
sits in our garage for basically the entire week. It's on
right.
average, it's out on the road 2 hours a week.
Right.
And we're fully staffing a platform truck instead of having a third ambulance.
Oh, I see. Yes. Well, yes, all of those. We have to think outside the box, and part of the job is to continuously review everything.
Right.
Not that you're trying to throw somebody under the bus, but that's the job, is can it be done better? Whatever we're doing, can it be done better and at lower cost or better service? And that's part of it. So we're at quarter to the hour, so we have to take a break, listen to our sponsors. And I think there might be some weather in there, but at any rate, we will be back after these messages, so stay with us.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Wondering why Kelly Chewbacca is running for Senate? She needs the money. Just take a look at her record. Everywhere Chewbacca's been, she puts herself first. Like the time she charged Alaska taxpayers $81,000 to move her family from her Washington, D.C. home to Anchorage, then quit the job after just 2 years and didn't repay taxpayers a dime. Chewbacca made $190,000. Again, paid by Alaska taxpayers. That's $36,000 more than her predecessors made. When Chewbacca worked in Washington, D.C., according to a government inspector general, Chewbacca likely committed fraud, charging taxpayers over $35,000 for work she didn't do. No wonder Kelly Chewbacca's running for Senate. She makes government service work for herself. Reject Kelly Chewbacca for U.S. Senate. Senate Leadership Fund paid for and is responsible for the content of this advertising. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee. www.senateleadershipfund.org.
At Batteries Plus, we power family road trips. We power bedtime stories. We power our local hospitals. We power connections with friends. At Batteries Plus, we do more than replace batteries and fix phones and tablets. We help our neighbors power their lives. How powerful is that? Get powered at your locally owned store, schedule a convenient curbside pickup, or shop thousands of batteries and bulbs at batteriesplus.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Haney, and I'm running for Borough Assembly. I believe in property rights and freedom. I believe in market forces, not government mandates. Some in the Borough Assembly want to eliminate city government, and I will fight to protect home rule cities. I will support our nonprofits that make our community great and served us through the pandemic. I will work for the entire borough. On October 4th, vote for me, Barbara Haney, Borough Assembly. You can find me at Haney4FNSB.com.
Paid for by Haney for FNSB.
Weather is being brought to you by Frontier Outfitters, your store for the outdoor. Your next outdoor adventure begins at Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Cloudy skies today with snow changing to rain likely. Highs around 46. Northeasterly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected tonight. Mixed precipitation likely. Lows dip down to about 34. A mixture of precipitation likely again tomorrow. High of 45. A dusting of snow tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM.
And streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we are back. Thank you for staying with us. You're listening to Problem Corner on KFAR. Guest host this morning is Mike Prox. And with me in the studio is Aaron Gibson, who is running for City Council Seat D. And if you had some questions, the number to call in to participate in the show is 458-8255, and that's 458-TALK. And Aaron, we've been going through a lot of different city issues, always interesting stuff to talk about, but we got to talk about some on your campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. That's part of running for office, is campaigning.
Campaigning.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been knocking on doors. I've meeting with the people in the neighborhoods where they live, and that's one of the best parts is actually getting to talk to people and hearing what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And also educating people, because sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I want to vote for mayor in November, and you're like, no, right. It's October 4th.
That's important. Yes, the election is October 4th.
It is.
Early voting is open for city residents. That's all done at the Shoppers Forum.
And borough.
You know, I was down there, and they sent me to Shoppers Forum.
Oh.
And so I should go to the City Hall, because I was going to say that you can vote at City Hall.
You can.
Is it? You can vote at City Hall. Okay, mm-hmm. So there's two locations, Shoppers Forum for, well, both borough and city.
Mm-hmm.
And at City Hall, I'm guessing that it's just city. Maybe it's
just
both?
City. I think, well, I know
well,
it's city.
It's one,
and it's absentee. So you go there and you can vote. You can vote early absentee is what that is.
Right. And so that is open right now. And I encourage people to take advantage of that.
And early voting, just so everyone knows that's listening, early voting is actually counted
on election night. Yes, indeed. So your
vote actually gets counted
yes,
that night.
Yes. But only if you go down there and vote.
Yeah, only if you go down there and vote.
Yeah, your vote doesn't get counted if all you're doing is complaining on Facebook.
Yeah, so that's been great. I have actually taken the time and I've attended every single forum or event that I've been invited to.
Mm-hmm.
I've gone to every single one, and I think that's important because people, whether I thought it was going to be friendly to me or not, it mm-hmm. didn't matter. I went to it because I want people to know what I believe and what I envision for the city.
Yes, and that's, yeah, there really aren't any hostile forums. There's some groups that maybe I disagree with the direction that they're heading, but you always learn a lot.
Yeah.
And it's worth attending those forums in person. If you hear about one, you can listen on the radio sometimes or whatever, but it's worth going down and participating in those forums and meeting people face-to-face.
Yeah, you know, you always learn new aspects of new issues that you didn't understand or
right.
maybe somebody hadn't taken the time to educate you on.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is always a learning experience. Every meeting you go to, there's always somebody that shows up that is going to share something that you just didn't know before.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it's always fun, interesting opportunity.
It is, yes. And the city is really small enough that you can get to know the people that are representing you. It's not like Chicago or New York or L.A.
No, we, you know, there's three, four grocery stores in town.
You're right.
Bound to see me at one of them.
Right. Yes, indeed. Yes. And that's part of the job, to listen to constituents, bring their concerns, help them figure out sometimes just how to get through the process, how it works, and a lot of problems get resolved that way.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting process. So let's see. How can people reach you? You have a campaign website?
Yeah, gibsonforfairbanks.com. People can reach me through there. My phone number's on there.
Okay.
You shoot me an email or you can connect with me on Facebook.
Okay. Gibson for Fairbanks.
Yep, F-O-R. Gibson, F-O-R.
F-O-R, Fairbanks. Spelled
yeah.
out.
Spelled. Yeah, that's a, the website's there, and if you want a campaign sign or you want to ask a question, you can reach me through there. And like I said, my phone number's on there. You can give me a call, shoot me a text anytime.
Mm-hmm. Good. And are you planning any meet and greets for your campaign, or is that kind of, are we past that stage of the campaign?
Well, I've had quite a few of those and quite a few fundraisers and meet and greets and opportunities, and right now I'm just focused on knocking on doors right before the election.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want me to stop by your house, more than welcome to give me a call, and I'll drop off a sign or come by and chat anytime.
That sounds good. And that's important. Participate. Get to know the people that are representing you. Make a decision and get out there and cast a vote. It's a participation sport. It isn't a audience sport where you can just passively listen to what's going on and talk about it later. It's important to get out there and make a decision and cast a vote.
Yeah, and you know, once you get elected, it's not an individual sport either. It's a team sport there.
It's a team sport. It is.
You really have to work with the people, and if you have a good team that's there, you know, things happen.
Mm-hmm.
The wheels can move, and things like the Polaris building can come down.
That can eventually get done, yes. Goodness, what a project that has been. But we're moving forward on that, correct?
Yeah, so the latest report we got from the Polaris Working Group is that it's going to be, the annex is coming down this winter,
mm-hmm.
from my understanding. So,
okay.
The $10 million that we got from the federal government should be enough to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
It was really great that Dave Prues worked on that and got that for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because that thing's been an eyesore for 20 years.
Yes, indeed.
I remember as a kid pumping gas at the gas station across the street from there, and mm-hmm. it was being open and being a happening place and building the courthouse, and then it shut right. down. It was just
yep.
gone, you know.
Yep.
I'm glad to see that thing is going to be gone, and we're gonna move. Fairbanks is gonna move forward.
Right.
And we're gonna move on to something better.
Right. And at this point, there isn't a definite plan of what happens next. The building comes down, but the council is still discussing what do we do after it turns into a parking lot. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's to remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my ideal situation is that we put a request for a proposal out there, and we let the private sector come in and say, hey, these are the things that we could build there.
Mm-hmm. And that'll be... Well, that'll be a discussion.
Yeah, it'll be a discussion and something you got to work through. You know, I really envision whatever goes there, it's going to be some huge structure probably.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe some small structure. But I imagine, you know, it'll be something big.
Right.
And I imagine it'll be paired with something. We'll pair it with the parking garage. So I think that parking garage is a critical part of that
right.
that deal.
So there's a symbiotic relationship there.
Yes.
And to make, you know, things like walkable city. Well, you have to have high density to make it worthwhile to make it walkable. Otherwise, people are going to be driving. You can put all the sidewalks you want in there, but if you have to drive to get to the sidewalk, you haven't really solved the problem. And we did, again, back in the 70s. We had, well, the Polaris Building, the Northrop Building, Fairbanks Hotel, the Nordale Hotel, and I think there were a couple. There were a lot of people downtown. There were three or four pharmacies within walking distance of 2nd Avenue. And that's part of a city. That's why you provide the infrastructure. And I think that, you know, if you ever want my opinion, that's it. Build something with apartments for more residents in the downtown, if you will, the core area. And I think that will help everybody out and be a best long-term decision. That's my thoughts. So, all right. And let's see, what others? We've got about two and a half minutes left.
Okay, well, real quick, I just want to hit on the tax cap, the cap
tax
within
cap,
the cap
yes.
that's going to be in. So the city, you know, we have a baked-in tax cap into our charter that we have to follow. The borough doesn't. We have to revote on it every 2 years to keep it in place and
right.
keep the assembly from trying to get rid of that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there's people out there that love to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a tax cap is a reasonable thing. The property tax cap is something that is going to be on the city's ballot.
Right.
And that doesn't remove the tax cap. It just removes the property tax cap.
Part of it. So how would that work in practical terms? If property taxes go up, then there's a limit on other taxes that the city can levy?
Well, so really, it's a limit. What happens is the property tax is limited by what other revenues are coming from the other taxes. So like the bed tax, the alcohol tax, the tobacco tax, all the other taxes that are included, you know, when those equal X dollars, and then they figure out what the property tax can be. And sometimes those revenues aren't enough to allow for collection. And I think that, you know, there's going to be some other folks that are going to talk about it here soon. But I definitely support removing the property tax cap. I think that's a reasonable thing. And it protects Fairbanks and allows us to continue to have the services that we have.
Right. There's another sort of related military facility zones. Is the city council working on establishing those for Fairbanks?
It's already done.
Done.
Yeah, all we right. just got the letter in the other day from the state that our request to be designated as a military facility zone was granted, and so Fairbanks is one of those.
Okay. All right, so once again, how to reach you and for your campaign, how can people reach you?
GibsonForFairbanks.com.
Gibson for Fairbanks.
Yeah, my phone number's on there, or you can reach me through Facebook and Gibson for Fairbanks on Facebook. Easy to find.
All right, very good. And I hear the music, so we're getting close to being taken over by the satellite. You've been listening to KFAR. Don't forget, the local election is October the 4th. Early voting is open right now. And whether you vote yes or no, be sure and vote. Thank you for listening.
Fairbanks. The heartbeat of Alaska.
A state of emergency in Florida. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. As Hurricane Ian gathers strength on a possible track to hit Florida's Gulf Coast, maybe the Tampa Bay area, which hasn't had a major storm in more than a century.
We will see on the Gulf Coast of Florida heavy rain, strong winds, flash floods.